Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. At the Synod Assembly a few weeks ago now, the seven last words of the church were mentioned. Do you know the seven last words of the church? We've never done it that way before. Or as we'd like to say in the South, we ain't never done it that away before. And there's something to be said for those being the last words of the church, an unwillingness to try new things, to explore what the Spirit might be up to, tends to kill communities. The past is a great place for those who've lived it. But it's entirely unwelcoming to new people who can't participate in your past, our past. We've never done it that way before is not a great place to start from when it comes to hospitality to the stranger, who may well be one of those disciples that Jesus sent out, sent to give us good news. Or maybe a prophet unknown with a word of repentance or hope and healing. Or maybe it's just someone who really needs a welcome. We've never done it that way before. Leaves out the chance for resurrections to occur, for new things to come sprouting up, for the blessings of God to do new things in our midst. No doubt, we've never done it that way before could quite legitimately be the last words of the church. Or really, they could be the last words for any of our individual lives of faith as we seek to discern what God has for us. Well, I've never done it that way before. But the gospel today also suggests that there's another danger that we sometimes forget about, that we can just as easily dismiss what we know so well as what might be new, that we could become so familiar with Jesus, so familiar that we just dismiss him like we already know him. Like in the gospel today, the crowds say, "Wait, that's Mary's son. Isn't that James's brother? Isn't that that kid who was always wandering off and getting lost? Wait, that's that kid who was so poor. How in the world did he ever get an education? What's he got to say? How in the world could he be worth my time? I mean, I already know him." And they dismissed him. They dismissed the power and goodness and hope of what he had to bring. They totally missed out, or at least almost totally missed out. I kind of wonder if we do the same thing sometimes. We think that we know the people around us. We think we've got them all figured out and they've got nothing new to give us. Or maybe we think that, well, we've heard that Bible story a million times. What could there possibly be left to learn? I mean, we got confirmed, right? Aren't we done? Graduated? Or maybe we become so familiar with this liturgy every week that we phase out. Our Father who art in heaven. Now, wait, what was that I needed to get at the grocery store again? I know this happens. It happens to me. It happens to everyone. And the problem is not that we occasionally phase out or get distracted, but the risk is that as it becomes so familiar, we begin to dismiss it. We begin to dismiss the power that these stories have for us. We begin to become numb to the power of the words that we hear, these amazing words, "This is my body given for you." Or how about these? "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. We begin to think that there's no more meaning in those words that we speak again and again and again and again. We begin to believe that we've already got it all figured out and that there's nothing left here for us to learn. And then we miss out on the power and goodness and hope in what is right in front of us. We stop noticing the beauty and the power of God right in our midst. God speaking through the words that we speak. God's presence in the utter simplicity of the everyday. The water, the bread, the wine. We miss out. Not because God isn't here in our midst, but because we've become so familiar with this stuff called grace and love and hope and forgiveness that we think that there's nothing new to it. Of course, the good news is that God is here still right in our midst. That God hasn't given up on us at all. God keeps trying again and again and again. Which is why I think that God sends prophets even when God's not really sure we'll listen. And that Jesus sends disciples out to those who can't hear him speak. And then the Spirit sends new people and new ideas and new things into our midst. So that through new eyes, new voices, new ears, we might experience anew the familiar, the promises of God in water, the presence of God in bread and wine, the comfort of God in community, the power of God in welcome. So I think that today it's especially appropriate that even as we rejoice in Emmanuel's 111 years of history, of being a community of grace and faith, we are blessed to catch glimpses of the new, to vision for the future, to welcome to God's family Nora, who will be baptized today. And we're invited to experience with Nora this old, amazing grace, as if it were new again, because it is. Amen.